Our speaker is the Alberta Liberal leader and the leader of the official opposition, Kevin Taft. Kevin was born in Saskatchewan and educated in Edmonton, Alberta. He never thought he'd be a politician. He's a public policy analyst and a researcher. He happens to have a PhD. And he was head of his own Edmonton-based consulting company. Kevin's life took a sharp turn when he returned to Alberta in 1994 after a year of studying for a business degree. Deeply concerned by the Alberta government's gutting of the healthcare system, education, and other public services that Albertans depend on, Kevin decided to do something about it and make a difference. He started by doing the research and writing a book called Shredding the Public Interest in 1997. It was a national bestseller, which confirmed many Albertans' concerns about the Conservative government. A second bestseller was co-written called The Economics and Politics of For-Profit Medicine, and those of us that care deeply about publicly funded health systems certainly value the perspective that Kevin and his co-author, Gillian Stewart, brought to that. Recently, he's written a book called Democracy Derailed. It's talking about the breakdown of accountable government in Alberta. And it's a very valuable book, and there are copies for sale outside. But I think it's if we talk about it from a non-political perspective, I think it's an issue that everyone in Alberta should be concerned about, government accountability and public accountability to the electorate. Kevin stepped into public life in 2001. He handily won his Edmonton Riverview seat in the election of that year. 3 years later, he was elected leader of the Alberta Liberals and the official opposition leader. In the most recent provincial election, in Edmonton Riverview, it saw Kevin be elected with the most votes of any politician in Alberta. And I think that's commendable, and it speaks to a number of Kevin's traits. Kevin Taft is a remarkably balanced guy. He's been a soccer coach, he's a dad, he's got a family, and at the same time, he's got time to be a researcher, an author. I think people think of Kevin Taft and they think of integrity, balance, and a positive view on democracy. I think Kevin Taft brings a lot to Alberta, and he brings a valued, different point of view. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to give a warm welcome to Kevin Taft, our speaker for today.
Thank you very much. Very nice. Thank you very much, Chris. How is the sound system working? Okay, I'll pretend I'm in the legislature and everybody's heckling me, so I have to really be loud. You can do that. Oh, good, I've got a volunteer heckler already. Terrific. That's what we need, eh, Bridget? It is a real treat to be here today. I've addressed the Sackclaw organization a few times now, and the first time I recall quite clearly here at Erickson's was right after Shredding the Public Interest came out, and that's about 10 years ago. And there's still some familiar faces here. And it's always, as I say, a real pleasure to be here. It's also a pleasure to have, as my colleague, the unsinkable Bridget Pasteur, if I can use that term. She is just a great asset to Lethbridge and to Alberta. She brings her own style, her own humor, her own passion, her own strong sense of right and wrong to the legislature, and we're all better for it. And so I thank you for electing her. She's a wonder for us all. Get myself organized. Today I'm going to talk about building a sustainable future for this province. I imagine we've all read the articles somewhere in the newspapers or seen the TV stories about the big lottery winner who wakes up about 3 years after the $1 million prize and wonders where it all went. He's had a great time, big party, maybe took a lot of trips or bought fancy cars, and then whoosh, it's all gone. What happened? Where did it go? That same kind of thing in its own way can happen on a much bigger scale. It can happen to provinces or to regions or even to countries. And there's some great stories from around the world. One of the world's great opera houses actually can be found in the jungles of Brazil, where it was built in the early part of the 20th century by the baron of a big rubber plantation who loved opera and thought, well, this is going to go on forever, and built a magnificent opera house. Of course, the rubber plantation, the whole economy collapsed when new technology came along, and the jungle retook this opera house. It's actually been reopened as a bit of a tourist attraction. The 1890s, there was an amazing silver rush in the interior of BC. If you go to Nelson and that area now, how many of you been to Nelson? You think, you look at those beautiful old buildings there, the old hotel on Main Street of Nelson and these ghost towns back there. There was a time when there were more people in the interior of BC than there are in Alberta. At the time, not now, but at that time in the 1890s, more people lived in the interior of BC. The boom, and bust. The 1920s, the jurisdiction in the world that had the highest per capita income. Anybody want to guess where, if you wanted to have the highest per capita income, where you would need to be? Very close to Alberta, right next door, Saskatchewan. 1926. Saskatchewan, in the middle of the wheat boom, had the highest income in the world. There were more people in Saskatchewan. In fact, Saskatchewan was the third most populous province in the country. Virtually unchanged population all the way through today. Of course, the depression hit there. Alberta's at risk of going through that same kind of pattern. And if we don't manage our opportunities wisely, we will go through that same kind of pattern. It's almost an economic law for resource-based economies to go zooming up and crashing down. And it's up to us to make sure that doesn't happen. Now, Alberta's actually been unbelievably blessed. We're as lucky in Alberta as people retailing lottery tickets in Ontario are, it seems to me. You know, until oil came along, Alberta was actually one of the poor sisters of Confederation. But along came the Duke number one, and the conventional oil boom of the 1950s and the 60s and the 70s right through until the early 80s brought unprecedented prosperity to Alberta. Of course, it came to an end when two things began to happen. One is the price of oil dropped so dramatically in the 80s, and the other is actually conventional oil production in Alberta peaked in the 1970s. And conventional oil production is in decline and has been for 30 years in Alberta. Then along comes the 1990s. We get another boom. We get the natural gas boom, which produced so much wealth and poured billions and billions of dollars into provincial coffers and allowed the Tories to pay off the debt that they happened to incur. The natural gas boom has carried Alberta through much of the last 15 years. And now we're on the brink of a third one. In fact, you can feel it around the province, the oil sands boom. We have been unbelievably blessed in this province. And in fact, if you look at us on a per capita basis, now, recognizing that in all of Alberta, there's fewer people than in Metro Montreal, per capita, we are probably the wealthiest jurisdiction on the planet. And keep that in mind the next time you struggle with public services. Ask yourself, how come that's happening in an area, a jurisdiction with so much wealth? The big question on my mind for today is Alberta managing its good fortune with the long term in mind? Or are we going to be like the lottery winner who wins the big prize and blows it all and wonders where the opportunity went? History worries me because we haven't made the most of our first two booms. We can't blow it the third time or time will be out. I mean, we're not going to keep winning these lotteries. The stakes are really, really high. The University of Calgary about a month ago released an economic study on the value of the petroleum sector for Alberta's economy. And they concluded that directly or indirectly, fully 50%, one half of Alberta's economy relies on one sector, the petroleum sector, 50%. Half of government revenues, half of jobs. Imagine if this room, if you were all representative of people across Alberta, we could take half the room and you'd be out of work without the petroleum sector. Half of our personal wealth. So the stakes are very, very high for the future of this province. If we blow it, we'll wake up and wonder where it all went. We'll wake up with a government that has to get back into debt, as we had to in the late 80s. We'll wake up to a government where public services have to be cut, where our children or grandchildren are leaving because there's no opportunity here. But if we get it right, the future of Alberta can be unparalleled anywhere in this world. We can have sustainable prosperity for generations to come. We can have outstanding universities and schools and hospitals. We can have a marvelous environment that we all enjoy if we get it right. The challenge for us all as citizens, and for us in particular as Alberta Liberals, is to help get it right. There's four cornerstones of sustainability that I want to talk about today. Money, people, the environment, and democracy. And I want to look at those one at a time as I talk away here. I have to watch the time. But let's start with the first one, money. If you happen to win the big lottery prize, one of the first things you would probably do after the big celebrations were over is you'd go out and find a financial planner and work up a plan, right? You'd go out and say, okay, I've got $10 million. What am I going to do with this? I've never had that kind of money before. You'd find a financial planner, and working with that person, you would set out some goals. You'd figure out, how much can I spend? Can I really buy, the big beautiful house in the edge of Lethbridge and a condo in Maui and a place in the mountains and somewhere in the south of France? Or maybe not, how much can I spend? How much can I give away? All my new friends, all those cousins who suddenly appeared, how much can I give to them? So you've worked out a financial plan. Well, the same thing ought to apply to Alberta. One of the astonishing things to me, we're still at a point in this province where our government has no financial plan. We've been that way for years and years and years. We're still that way. And to me, it's absolutely shocking and unacceptable. It was a priority for us as the Alberta Liberals, and has been for some years. And last September, after a tremendous amount of work, we rolled out our own financial plan for Alberta. And the key, single most important component of that was to set aside 30% of all non-renewable resource revenues, all those royalties we get from oil and gas, take 30% and start saving them, putting a chunk of that every year into the Heritage Fund. We give the Heritage Fund a very clear purpose. Right now, everybody thinks of the Heritage Fund as the rainy day fund, right? Has everybody heard of that? And the problem is we can never agree when it's raining. So it doesn't have any clear purpose. We want to give it one clear purpose, to earn revenues for the government of Alberta. And to build the Heritage Fund up, not to the extent that the Norwegians have built up their fund, but to a major extent. In 20 years, building the Heritage Fund up according to our plan, and using the government's own numbers, the Alberta government could actually earn more from investments than from oil and gas. For the first time in Alberta's history, the province would be free from this roller coaster boom and bust cycle that it's on now because it's so directly dependent on oil and gas revenues. We would also take a portion of that and invest it in post-secondary education through an endowment fund there. You look at great universities around the world, Cambridge and Oxford and Stanford and Harvard and Yale and so on, they all have huge endowments which allow them stable long-term financing. University of Lethbridge, Lethbridge Community College, for two examples, should both have that kind of security, because our very long-term depends on a strong post-secondary education system. We also take a portion of that and invest it in repairing our infrastructure, and finally a segment of that 30% into an endowment for the arts and culture, because after all, we don't live on bread alone, even if it's made into good sandwiches. So our financial plan is very clear. We need to take the non-renewable wealth of this province and make it permanent into a source of permanent prosperity. The last 25 years, 93% of all the oil and gas money that's flowed into the Treasury in Edmonton has been spent. 93%. The Heritage Fund, since the late 1980s when it was capped, has actually lost a significant portion of its value. At a time when Norway has built a fund up to, if you could believe it, the numbers are actually, you can't imagine, but it's in the range of 250 billion U.S. dollars the Norwegians have saved. We've actually managed to shrink the real value of our Heritage Fund. It's not good enough. It's not sustainable. If we don't address that issue, the day will come when we will face a financial crisis. So, first thing, for a sustainable future, manage our money wisely, get a financial planner, save a portion of that income, and build up our savings accounts. Everybody with me so far? Okay. This is not rocket science. You can't believe as an Albertan that we don't have these kinds of policies in place. I guess it's because we haven't had a liberal government, right, Richard? The second cornerstone of a sustainable future, people. It's what it's all about, isn't it? That's why we have a government. That's why we're all here. And you think, again, back to those interviews with the lottery winners, you know, and all the TV cameras around, and the microphones in the face of the winner. And you say, what are you going to do? And what do they say? Well, you know, I'm going to buy my mom and dad that dream home they always wanted. Or I'm going to pay off the student loans that my kids have. Or take all my family on a dream holiday. You know, those kinds of things. It's all about people. We need to be thinking about people and building the future of this province as well, because oil and gas, after it's gone and after forestry's gone and who knows what else has changed, it's still our most valuable resource will be people. So what are our priorities? Well, I already mentioned one and how we would help address that. That's post-secondary education. Create an endowment fund for our post-secondary system. But of course, education needs to begin preschool all the way through to postgraduate. And in my view, it is simply unacceptable that we have an education system in Alberta where classrooms are so crowded. Sometimes kids are in classrooms of 30 or 35 or even 40 students in high schools, where parents have to fundraise basics like computers and desks and sometimes books. We need to understand that education is an investment. Every single jurisdiction on this planet, from Ireland to South Korea to Finland to Singapore, has excelled in large part because they understood how important education is. So we have to invest in education. Second, public health care. Those of you who know me, will know I'm a big supporter of a well-run, and I emphasize well-run, public health care system. A well-run public health care system beats a private system hands down. I will tell you, just as I haven't ever said this publicly, but I will tell this to you as a little anecdote. About a month ago, my stepfather died. He lived in the United States. He was an American and moved back to the United States many years ago. He went into a hospital on a Thursday with a heart attack. He didn't want any procedures, any extraordinary procedures. He got first-class care, no doubt about it. First-class care, he died the following Monday afternoon. He was in the hospital a total of about 6 days, most of it in intensive care. The cost, $129,000. 6 days, and that's without any surgery. That is how valuable our public health care system is to us as Canadians. It's the most efficient, fair, and effective way to deliver health care. We need to rebuild the healthcare, public health care system in Alberta that makes us all proud and makes us all confident. We need to remember, as well as our children, our seniors are a wonderful resource for us. Seniors who want to stay independent, live at home, live healthy and contributing lifestyles, and used to have outstanding services and need a return to some of those breaks, whether it's on property tax, whether it's on electricity bills, whether it's on any number of other services, home care supports. We need to attend to our service to our seniors. We need to address issues like housing. Lethbridge has challenges with housing. The further north you get, the more extreme those challenges become. Everybody needs a home. That should be a basic principle of a government. It's the basic principle of an affordable housing policy the Alberta Liberals rolled out in January. Everybody needs a home. And many municipalities are working hard to provide affordable housing. It is unacceptable in this province, and frankly in this country, that homelessness and housing affordability are such challenges. So, we need to understand people are our most valuable resource, and we need to invest in people. I'm not in favor of handouts, although there are times when people genuinely need them. But we need to understand that giving people an education, giving people a home, giving people a chance to contribute is the most important thing any government can do. Third, environment. Top of mind issue today. I predict it will remain a top of mind issue for years to come. Our water, our land, and our air. If we do not look after those, nobody's going to want to live here. And we have huge challenges in all of those. All the rivers in southern Alberta are over-allocated. We need to manage our water wisely. We need to watch carefully what we're putting in the air. In particular, climate change. Climate change is not going to go away. I spend a lot of time on the science of climate change. I accept the science of climate change. We need to get very, very serious in Alberta about addressing greenhouse gas emissions, particularly carbon dioxide. And it needs to begin immediately and be aggressive. We've laid out a plan that we are going to continue to develop, but we need to face the challenges of environmental management head on. Fourth, democracy. The incredible wealth of this province will not serve the people of this province if the people do not have a strong voice in its government. If the people continue to be given short shrift, if the people continue not to have the tools to hold their government accountable, the government's not going to serve them. And actually, I've written about this, as Chris mentioned, in a book very recently that has had a terrific reception. Whether it's the way the legislature itself operates, whether it's the Auditor General, whether it's our freedom of information legislation, which is really, I think of as imprisonment of information, not freedom of information, whether it's the Ombudsman or so many other things, we need to catch up to the rest of the country. People are not generally aware. But things that today are seen as breakthroughs in Alberta, like the flagship bill of this government, a lobbyist registry. A lobbyist registry is standard procedure in Ottawa and in most other provinces, and has been for 10 and 15 years. We're that far behind. We need whistleblower protection legislation so that people on the inside who see things being done illegally or see corruption can bring it to the public without fear of being punished. We need to reverse Bill 21, which was pushed through last spring, which conceals the results of the government's internal audits for 15 years. Can you imagine a government having the nerve to put a law in place, which this government just did, to conceal public audit information from the public for 15 years? What do they have to hide? We need to look at all of those issues and reinvigorate democracy. That's why organizations like SACPA are so important. You are a burning spark of the democratic spirit in this province. So there we have it, ladies and gentlemen. A sustainable future is within our reach. We have been given this unbelievable chance in Alberta. We need to manage our wealth. We need to convert this non-renewable boom into permanent prosperity. We need to tend to our people, whether it's preschoolers needing education or seniors needing a little support to stay independent. We need to pay attention to people. We have to protect our environment. And we need to reinvigorate democracy. We are at a crossroads in Alberta. The decisions made in the next few years will determine our future for decades to come. It's like time is compressed here. Things are happening so fast. Things that happen that take 5 and 10 and 15 years to happen in other provinces are happening here in 5 or 10 or 15 months because the economy is so heated. So this crossroads we are at, if we get it right, we set off on a journey we will all be proud to be on, and our children and our grandchildren. If we get it wrong, we will be like that lottery winner who wakes up having blown it all. The choice is ours. The responsibility is ours. I take great heart from all of you here today, a big crowd here. Your interest, your passion, your commitment to the future, that's what this province is all about. Thank you very much.
Kevin, that was a very thought-stimulating presentation to us today. We'll now take a break for lunch, but I think we have a lot to chew over in the next 30 minutes. We'll be back with your questions. The Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs.